want to be the most popular girl.
You have the power to make anything you want to happen.
Can I make him love me?
Love you? With me being your coach, he's gonna become your love slave.
Everybody dreams, but Louisa's dreams all come true.
Astaroth, Barbas, Tetragrammaton, Theos, Ishnos, Athetos.
What?
It's a new U2 song.
Team Witch. Winning is a magical feeling.
And we are back with a bitchin' bonus.
Your bitchin' bonus girls are back. Your bitchin' bonus bitches are back.
Yes, the bitches are back.
Yes.
Are you scared? You better be.
We're talking about witchy things today, so.
Yeah, we're witches. We're witches, so you better be nice to us or else we're going to cast a spell on your ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are.
Oh, man. Hi, listener. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, listener. Hi, Sadiq.
How are you doing?
Are you asking the listener or asking me?
I'm asking you.
Okay. I'm doing well. I'm definitely having an off week of, like, motivation, trying to keep up with things. Yeah, It's definitely, this week is hitting me where I'm just like, I don't want to stay in bed all day, but I definitely am just kind of like, the idea of like making decisions is just like too much. So I'm like, so case in point, I was like, okay, what am I going to have for lunch today? Nothing sounded good and I didn't want to order out. So I had an entire half loaf of bread, like a baguette.
Hey, that's food.
Yeah, it is.
That and is it was food. Really good.
And it was, of course, like, toasted with butter. Like, I'm not a psychopath, you know?
Oh, yeah, no. Who just eats, like... Actually, no, I've eaten a dry baguette before.
Yeah. I mean, like, we all have. But, like, this is, like, a... Like, not, like, a fancy baguette. It's, like, a giant food grocery store made-in-house baguette. So, you gotta toast that thing up with butter, so...
Yeah, you have to. They're pretty flimsy.
But, otherwise, I'm doing okay. I'm definitely, like... I'm just kind of... ready for this week to kind of get over. I took on a new like part-time job, which is nice. I'm teaching old people how to work computers, which I felt like I've been doing like since I've been home with my parents, but now I
get paid for it. You had plenty of training up until this point. Yeah. You're prepared.
Yeah. And so I think that added to the schedule is just like anytime I have like a, you know, schedule obviously is important in this kind of time. So if you're having like a new glitch or something thrown into it and kind of throw you off. So I'm just ready for this week to be over and like have a new week, I guess. But otherwise I'm doing well. So like today and tomorrow I'm off so I can just like veg out. And that's like, that's how I kind of recoup from things. I haven't had time to veg out in a while. So
nice.
Yeah, but I'm so excited about today's podcast and the movie, so that helps.
But yes, me too.
How are you doing, Sonique?
I'm okay. I've also had kind of a rough week. Mm-hmm. I had like my sinuses were bothering me this week, so I've just like been kind of ugh. But yesterday was the first day where I was feeling a lot better, so I twisted my hair. I'm very happy with it.
It looks fresh. Like I could. Like, well, it's
fresh.
Good.
Well, I finished them yesterday, so they're very fresh. My edges are snatched.
Were they a little bit difficult to sleep on last night?
Yeah, usually the first night. Yesterday, actually, I was lying down and I asked Evan to rub my head.
Yeah.
So I had him just kind of like massage my scalp a little bit, which was very pleasant. And I understand now why my dog likes to be pet. I'm like, right? This feels nice.
It's a learning experience for us all. But yeah, it's like whenever you get braids or twists in, like the first day you like look the best, but you'd also are like, your head's like kind of screaming a little bit of pain. You're like, this
kind
is-
of, yeah. Well, that's also why I started doing my own hair because I hated like the experience of going to a salon and having someone like braid my hair and they're so aggressive and like they do it so tight
Yeah.
that I'm like, you know what? I'm happy that I can braid my own hair, because even though it's still tight and it has to be to a certain degree tight to work, but it's not over the top where, like, back when I was a kid and got my hair braided, it was, like, so painful. Now it's like, it's just a mild tightness, but it's not, like, that bad.
Right. Like, you had the trauma of, like, sitting in a chair for hours on end, like, just, like, ruining your Saturday, or if your parents really loved you, taking you out of school for your hair appointment. Did your mom ever do that? Because my mom definitely did.
I don't think so. I think usually my hair appointments were always on the weekends, sometimes after school, but usually I get, like, a Saturday appointment.
Yeah, but that was the worst. You're just, like, you gotta sit through a chair, and then, like, the next, like, day or two, like, you're just gonna be in some pain.
Yeah, there was this one lady I used to go to, so not for braids. I didn't get my hair braided until I think I was in middle school or high school.
Yeah.
But there was this woman who would do all of our hair, and it was back when I used to get my hair relaxed. Uh-huh. And I used to hate going to get my hair done there because she always styled me like someone's Annie. So I just had like weird like waterfall curls and stuff, and I hated my hair. I would look like someone's like 50-year-old Annie who goes to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and I wasn't having it. So I always had my mom like comb it out afterwards. So, like, we'd be paying essentially to get for the relaxer and just the general curls. Uh-huh. But I'm like, I can't go to school like this. Like, I look like my name is Gladys. Like, like, don't make me do this.
All you need was like a church hat and a fan, and you would have been set.
I would have looked, yes, I was full on like black church lady. Like, I can't.
I love that. Yeah.
Like, dress barn, like, pant, like, skirt suit. Because at my church, you can't wear pants, of course. So, skirt suit, like, no. Mm-mm. White pumps, no. Mm-hmm.
White pumps, and if it's like Easter or Palm Sunday, you're definitely wearing some gloves.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Jesus can't see my wrists.
Nope. That's scandalous.
That is scandal.
Oh my gosh. That's like low-key my grandma, though.
I mean, that was my grandma, too. I just described my nana. Rest in peace. But my nana, but she's also an elderly woman, so it made sense for her. Exactly. She looked so cute. She's great. But I was seven. So
it was a look.
Didn't want that.
It was a look.
Yeah, but anyway, we're not here to talk about church. We're talking about the opposite. We're talking about black magic, guys. Yes. There's no church here. Mm. We're summoning spirits. But we watched, for our bitchin' bonus, Teen Witch.
Which yes.
Was an entire experience watching this movie again.
I want to say that... Okay, so Sonique and I were taking turns choosing movies, and this was my choice. And I want to say to Sonique...
It's a great choice, by the way. It's a great choice.
That this is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I'm, like, watching it, and I'm like, I know it's ridiculous, but, like, I still love it. Like, I wanted to be Louise Miller. I still want to be her. I want her life, and I want to be a teen witch, like... This dream will never die.
I mean, I will say, it's not my favorite, but it falls into a genre of movie I enjoy, which is like magic. I like magic.
Of course, yeah.
I don't know why I said that like that. Like, I like magic. Like, but no, I like magical stuff. So one of my favorite movies, like all-time favorite movies, is The Craft.
Oh, yeah.
Which also teenagers... dabbling with the dark arts, and let's go for it. The Craft is like the dark passenger, like sister of Teen Witch, because literally is like
for sure
teen girls doing magic shit to get what they want, but then bad stuff happens to them.
Exactly. Yeah, mine more of like oh my gosh, this is such a nice life, and then Sonique loves that little horror twist and thriller twist of it.
I'm like, oh yes, I am Nancy Downs through and through. I'm wearing black today.
You are. And what, Sonique, can you describe what print I'm wearing on my sweatshirt?
Well, for one thing, it matches your wallpaper. Lauren has a floral sweatshirt, and she's sitting in front of a floral wallpaper. Lauren's head is just floating right now. Flowers.
So yes, we've got The Craft in Chicago, which is Sneak, and we have Louise Miller Teen Witch for a wallpaper basement, which is Lauren.
I'm sorry, I just like clowned you just now. I'm so sorry. You look like a listener. I'm sure one of you has seen Midsommar. Lauren looks like Florence Pugh in Midsommar at the end when she's in the flower. The fucking flower dress.
Listen, I will take that as a compliment. Floral is one of my favorite patterns.
It's wow, a Lauren. Florals in spring. Groundbreaking.
Listen, I love florals all the time, okay? Just let me live.
I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with florals. I also just watched The Devil Wears Prada, so I had to, like, quote.
Oh, I mean.
Fucking Meryl Streep in that. Because it's just, it was perfect. Yes, Teen Witch, which I used to love also as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I have not seen it in, like, forever. And watching again, I'm just like, for one thing, it used to play on Disney Channel as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they cut out a lot because there's a lot that happened. I was like, what? The sex ed scene? I'm like,
what? Yes. Yes. And I think I remember watching on both Disney Channel and ABC Family, and ABC Family was like the teenage, like, grown up Disney Channel. And I remember once I remember seeing it on ABC Family, I was like, oh shoot, like, this movie is what?
It's kind of like wild, but you know, it was still a fun time watching it, and I laughed a lot. Like, it actually was, like, really funny and just so silly and just a fun movie.
Exactly.
So, Lauren, can you give our listener, like, a synopsis? Like, what is this movie?
Yes. So, I'll read you the IMDb.
Yes.
So Teen Witch, which was aired in 1989, high school misfit Louise, at a loss for romance, discovers magical abilities, but the teenage witch finds that she cannot conjure herself true love. So, what next?
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay, I have a question for you, Lauren, since you are the Teen Witch stan that you are.
Yes.
Is this movie a musical?
It wasn't until today. Okay, so that's the thing about this movie, because I love it so much. Like, you know when you, like, love something so heart, like, so heartfelt that, like, you just kind of forget the red flags or the weirdness about it? That is me with this movie, because I remember you mentioning it, like last week. You're like, so this is a musical, right? And I was like, no, it's not. And then watching it today, I was like, damn it, it's a musical.
But so I asked you that because I'm like, I'm confused if it is or not, because there are musical numbers. There are several musical numbers in this movie, but it's done in such a way where it doesn't feel like a musical.
Yeah.
It feels like random music videos that happen suddenly. And you're like, what? Like, because I love a musical. So I'm not shading it for it. I love a fucking musical. But the thing about musicals is that typically when the music part happens, it kind of works seamlessly into the characters talking. Yeah. They feel strong feelings, and now I'm going to sing my feelings. And then if I really feel strong feelings, I'm going to dance my feelings, right? Yeah. Movie, music happens. It just happens, and you're like, why? Why?
Yes.
Why is it happening? But it's still delightful, but it's also confusing. It's like it's a huge mind fuck, and I'm happy I hadn't smoked before watching it, because I think if I had, I would have been, like, startled by all of it.
Sorry. I remember watching it today, but, like, the musical numbers are like I think so many things, like, you're kind of paying attention to one little part that you're not always watching the kind of characters around it. But once you start watching the characters and other people, like, oh, they're all synchronized dancing right now. And, like, it all has to do with, like, everything's, like, coordinating with the music. And it's like, oh, I think, they have, like, little, like, mini music numbers throughout the movie, which is
it's
just a little sprinkle of sass.
Also, there are two dances in this movie, which is groundbreaking, because typically in these teen 80s movies, there's one dance at the end, and that's where everything happens. Yeah. I've never seen one where there are two. And I'm like, that's
right.
Like, wow. Bold move.
Yeah. But it also reminded me a lot of, I guess, like, in high school, it wasn't until, like, our senior year that we had, like, our junior and senior year that we had homecoming in the fall, and then we had prom in the spring, which kind of followed the two plot. Or two dance plot, but normally that it's just one dance a year.
That makes sense, yeah. Or one dance a year, at least in movies. Like, it's like the big dance, the spring fling, the winter formal, you know, the Sadie Hawkins dance that like comes up, and that's like where everything goes down. But oh man, so where do we want to start with, like the characters, or like I don't know where to start with this fucking movie. It's so like,
okay. Since we were already talking about, let's talk about some of the big musical numbers.
Yes,
in the movie. So the first one that I had written down was like the first day of school, like once Louise like wakes up. Oh no, not even that. The first musical number was the opening scene.
Yeah, the opening, like it's a dream rooftop sequence, and she's like on a roof in like a red dress, which we're gonna have to get into the fashion because this movie, if this is a Degrassi episode, it would have like off the charts fashion, just like look after look. But yeah, she's like on the roof with, and like she's dreaming of who I called, okay, he's named Brad in the movie, but I call him Discount Jake Ryan.
Yes, exactly. It's just like, wait, you look like someone, and then you're like, oh, right. And then once you see 16 Candles again, you're like, oh, no, it's not him. It's Jake Ryan.
She looks like, he looks like Jake Ryan's, like, cousin from Kansas, who's like, I guess he's also cute, but he's not Jake Ryan.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. But this scene, yeah, she's like, it's kind of meant to be painted as like a music video type thing. Mm-hmm. But it reminded me of that Paula Abdul video. Is that the one that she dances with a cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
And they're on a roof.
Opposites Attract.
Yeah.
Yes.
It gave me so much of that vibes. And I think for a while before I like knew who Paula Abdul was, I thought they were the same. Like, I thought that was the music video because I think like they would play the Opposites Attract on like I Love the 80s countdowns, and I'd be like, oh, that's the one from Teen Witch. But it's not.
Oh yeah, Teen Witch starring Paula Abdul. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. And then in my mind I was like, oh, Paula Abdul's the singer from Teen Witch, like that's the pop star that she's obsessed with.
Well, she definitely is very Paula Abdul-ish, I think, minus I think the fashion that the singer wears is different, but
yeah, it's more Madonna.
It's like Madonna-ish and maybe like kind of like a Debbie Gibson type of feel, but she does look a lot like Paula Abdul now I think about it.
Yeah, and in my like 11-year-old brain I'm like, oh, they're the same person. It's all the same.
Well, also fun fact about this movie, the lead in it, Louise Miller, is played by Robin Lively, who is Blake Lively's half sister.
Shut. Oh,
yes.
I thought you were about to say mom.
No.
I was like, what?
No, it's her older half-sister, because they're like the Lively family. It's like a bunch of actors, including Blake. And I can't remember who the other guy is, but he was in So Weird. And he was in a few movies, too. He's like plus blonde guy. He's really cute. But yeah, they're all actors. But yeah, she has her opening dance sequence. What did you think about like that scene, because I had also forgotten it had happened in the movie, and I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, I think like it was kind of scary, because like they're obviously standing on a roof like dancing and walking backwards, and I'm like, that's not safe. But the thing is, it's like, it's, I'm trying to think of what's the song that goes along with it. I'm trying to hear it in my head.
Never gonna be the same again.
Oh.
Because they play it once, twice, I think, right? Is that the song in the opening? I think so.
Yeah, no, that it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking, I was like, oh, I kind of like this song. And it's like a very, like, kind of, like seduction play, like, ooh, like, are they going to fall off? Is he going to catch her kind of thing? Because he's kind of, like, chasing her type.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the kind of thing was going. And I was like, but there's no talking in it at all. There's just the background music.
Yeah.
And so, but I liked it. I was like, wow. And so it was kind of cool in the sense that it's a dream sequence. And then you like see the real Louise and you're like, oh shit. Like she is not her in that red dress.
Which it's also that typical like trope of, like, nerdy girl is gonna get hot eventually, but it's like she's clearly pretty. Like, she's obviously a pretty person. She just wears sweater vests and really long skirts. And I'm like, you know what, Louise? Like, hike that skirt up just a little bit and you're good.
Yes.
You're good to go. We also get, like, later on, there's like musical numbers. The I Like Boys music number, the cheerleaders.
Oh my God.
And I wrote this down. I said, I like boys. Is this straight culture? It's just bunch of cheerleaders just singing I Like Boys. But it's set up – and this is why the musical aspect of this movie throws me off, because it's set up as like, hey, girls, want to see the newest cheer? And it's a dance number throughout the locker room. And I'm like, this isn't a cheer. Like, this is a song that you're performing for each other that you could all hear, I think. I don't know. I was so confused.
But they also all knew the cheer. So it was it was very interesting in the sense – like, watching it now that I didn't notice as a kid, like, some of these scenes, I'm like, was this an independent director that wasn't part of the rest of the production of the movie?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So jarring.
But, like, oh my gosh. The only thing that really triggered me in that music sequence was that all of the girls were walking around barefoot in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, gross.
No,
like,
they all.
That's disgusting.
They all had to get their feet chopped off. Because they got severe athlete's foot that their foot, they have no feet.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just staff infections galore going on there.
Oh, absolutely. Like. That happened after, like, the day after the finale dance, there's a staff outbreak. It's actually devastating for this community.
They never grew past it, honestly.
No, they're never going to be the same again, so I have to say.
that was so corny. Some of my favorite that we have talked about on our Degrassi podcast before. Some of my favorite music numbers involve who I like to call the wannabe Beastie Boys.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Hip hop. but also, like, were they trying to be like, what do they call the people like from the 50s and 60s that like wore like the leather jackets and like were cool and swag?
They were like greasers. There was a lot. There's a lot happening. There were greasers. There were Beastie Boys. There were also kind of like, I don't know. I don't even know. It just was so strange. They're like a doo-wop band. Because we see them in the early part of the movie, like when she gets to school, and they're just in the hallway, like dancing and singing, and everyone's okay with that.
My gosh, I just love how like they're. I think. Again, I wasn't paying fully my full attention to like this in my memories, but rewatching it this time, I'm like, why were these people allowed to like carry the hip hop dance genre of this movie? Because they're not doing much.
No, and this school was like exclusively white. I saw one Asian kid, and there was one Latino guy wearing a bandana.
Yes, in the convertible. He looked like straight out Compton, like he's. I was like, he's gonna kill me.
I was like, does he go to the school? Like, who is he?
Because he looked like, was it Cholo? He looked like a stereotype.
He was just like a Cholo stereotype, but he's hanging out with these
flannel with a top button only, a bandana.
But he's like hanging out with these very white bred kids in like a convertible, like rapping. And I was like, but he was getting his life.
Yes. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, but I wonder, like, because I think the setting of the movie is supposed to take place in California. I wonder if they filmed in California. They're like, we need some diversity in this movie, and so they're just like went around like in.
They went down to like Echo Park in LA. Like, hey, come here. Like,
yeah, he's like, okay. Like, he's just hanging out the back of the car.
He's like, sure, why not?
Yes, but I absolutely loved them. And then of course another great musical number, which is kind of like more of a montage, was like, I wanna be the most popular girl. I like those songs are still like, I can sing along with them. Like,
same. And I thought,
in my back pocket.
It's one of those crazy things that just kind of like are stuck in your head and you forget about. And then you watch it and you're like, I know this song. Why do I know this song still?
Oh my gosh. Again, I think I was 10 years old when I realized like how many times I've seen this movie, because I remember I hadn't finished it. I finished it today because I started yesterday, and I was like, I don't even need to finish it. Like, I know everything.
I know everything about this movie. Right. So there's that one. Of course, there's the scene where her best friend, we talked about. Yeah, you know, you said that best friend raps, and then there's also. There's one more. I think the finale is like the last music number we have, right?
My Finest Hour.
Yes. my finest hour, where once again, so confusing because it starts off with just like a regular dance scene. They're all like just at the dance, and then Louise shows up and it becomes a choreographed dance suddenly out of nowhere. They all- and she walks and they all look and they take kind of like a double look. It's like, and a one, a two, five, six, seven, eight. Like, it's a very, very intense moment.
Yes. I remember, I think the moment when they, at the end, when they like pick her up, like by her arms and she like flies through the air and they set her down. And I was like, oh, it's a musical. Like, it's a musical.
But I see, I don't agree. I don't agree.
So what would you call it?
It is a teen comedy with musical elements. It's not a musical because it's like, because the way I see it is like, why I don't believe it's a musical. And it's kind of like what you said earlier is that typically like musicals, they advance the plot. I don't see any of – none of the music numbers do that except for the popular girl montage is the one where you, like, you realize, oh, she's popular. Everything else is literally just random music starts playing for some reason and it's just kind of thrown in there, which is – I'm like, it's not a musical, but it's just like a lot of music. But again, I don't hate it. It's jarring, but I had a great time. I loved it.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, huh, that was cute. And then you just like move on to the next scene.
I'm like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
But I think that's all the musical numbers I had. But yes. I loved every second of it. Sang along with all of them, and I was jamming for sure.
Yeah. But let's get into like our characters in this movie, right? So we have Louise, and she's like nerdy girl. And she's, you know, the protagonist realizes she's a witch when she turns 16 years old. And, you know, like many an 80s movie, she becomes best friends with an old magic person.
Of course.
Which, duh, like.
Was there Madame Serena?
Madame Serena, which, okay, fun thing. So Madame Serena is played by Zelda Rubinstein, who was, I can't remember the character's name, but she was also in Poltergeist with Craig T. Nelson.
Oh my gosh.
Full circle.
Full circle.
This is the
Oh my gosh.
This is the Craig T. Nelson, like 6 degrees of Craig T. Nelson is the new name of this podcast.
Oh my gosh. What if it is though? Like, I mean, we're staying in the 80s, so it's probably true.
There's a good he was in a lot of shit. There's a good chance that every movie we cover, Craig T. Nelson has dipped his toe in or is related to in some way. And I love that.
For sure.
Yes.
But yeah, I loved how I think this is going to be Lauren's thesis about why she loved Teen Witch so much. So, sure. I think I related. I think what I love so much about Louise is that she was very much like, you know, she's kind of the opening scene of her waking up after the dream. She like had dreams of this different life, but she, you know, woke up in like the most like ruffled floral print nightgown and, you know, like, walked downstairs and, like, kissed her mom and dad good morning. And I was, and like, you know, it was just very, like, goody-goody two-shoes, always did everything right.
Yeah.
And was, you know, probably shy, but, like, dreamed of something better. and so I feel like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was me. That was me.
Aw, Lauren.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense now that you're, like, why you're so, like, attached to this movie. Okay, my favorite character in this movie is the fucking brother.
That, oh my gosh.
That actor is hysterical. Like, I don't know what character he would, like, it was a very strange choice for the character. Like, it was like an annoying brother because he had like a really weird, like, an old timey, like, transatlantic accent. Like, I feel like he was in a different movie. Like, his character came from the 40s, but it was so funny.
Also, I definitely remember there was like, I remember like for a while when I was in college, I would be like, you're a dog.
You're a dog, Louise, a dog. It's like, what is that voice? Or the scene where they're at, like, they're waiting when she's like blowing out like her birthday. He's like, no one's coming to your birthday party, Louise. It's like,
yes. Like, whatever. Okay, I wrote down, I was like, Louise's brother constantly reading Louise for filth.
drags her every time he talks to her.
I think that's what I liked his character a lot, the way that he played it, or the way that they made him, because it was like, because I remember watching it, and I was always, like, repulsed by him. Like, he was physically so disgusting and gross. Yes. And the stuff he would eat, and, like, at one point he's, like, making a pizza.
With his hands, and he's just, like...
with marshmallows and, like, tomato sauce, and I literally wanted to vomit, and he's always just, like, sticky and gross. But I love that they kind of, like, they did it overtly, and, like, the way that, like, he's, like, reading her for filth, like, that... almost like his, the way his character is portrayed is like kind of how like an older sister would like view him,
mm-hmm.
like in that dramatic way,
mm-hmm.
of like, oh my gosh, my little brother is disgusting. I want to vomit. And it's like, yes, that's how I feel.
But like disgusting, but then still has the refined accent of like an actor an on the stage from like 1920. It's so fucking strange. But again, you know what? It embodies this movie. It's a movie that's so strange, but I love it. But I'm like, this is so weird.
Exactly. And also, why did her brother always have like guy liner and like overt blush on his cheeks? Like he had very rosy cheeks and like very like his eyes were outlined with eyeliner.
So like, I felt the same way with Brad. I feel like Brad was like... I think it might have just been bad makeup on the part of the makeup artist.
Yeah.
And they just were a little heavy-handed because Brad also had, like, I feel like had, like, eyeshadow on. And I was like, why is his face beat? Like, which is fine. Go off, sis. But I'm like, his face is, like, kind of beat right now.
it's like, this isn't a theater production. This is a movie, you know?
The makeup was very theater-like. Speaking of which, so I didn't know this. I was kind of looking at my phone and, like, looking at the cast list. So the character, the actress who plays Ms. Malloy, who is the theater director, like also Louise's other best friend, because she has two older women who are friends, which I think is such like a strong like choice.
Uh-huh.
She's played.
What else was she in?
By the late Marcia Wallace, who was the voice of Ms. Crabapple from The Simpsons.
Shut the front door.
And I was watching the movie and I was like, this woman's voice sounds familiar. But what I was thinking was like, oh, you've seen this movie before. So maybe you're remembering her from the same movie you're watching. But looking at Wikipedia, I'm like, oh my God, she's Miss Crabapple and who died in 2013, of course. But like, oh my God, like that's actually like really crazy. And amazing.
Yeah, she did so much voice work. I'm looking at her IMDb page now.
Okay. I'm sorry. Now I'm going crazy because now I'm looking at the dad, Dick Sargent, which is a great name. And when I was watching the opening credits, I was like, Dick Sargent, that's one, a very strange name. Also, a very, like, a name I've seen before.
Oh, my God.
He was in Bewitched.
Wait, he played the dad?
Yeah, the dad.
I guess, okay.
Yeah, the dad
movie. I'm looking at his picture, but then I'm like, you don't look like him now, but I guess he does. He just looks much younger.
But yeah, he was in Bewitched, which is so funny because.
We're talking about Teen Witch.
Oh my God. Sorry. I'm like so.
I know. But I loved, what was the lady's name?
The teacher?
The teacher.
Miss Malloy. Yeah.
Ms. Malloy, what did I write down about her? I only took a few notes, but I remember when watching her, like, as a kid, I was like, oh, that's what adulthood is going to be. Like, the scene where she, like, she's the theater teacher, and then she comes in one day, and she's like, I won the lottery, and then I got a new wardrobe with all my money, and then I met the most wonderful man, and he's going to take me out, and, like, we're going to go traveling together. That's how I thought adulthood would be. And it's nothing like that. And I'm sadly disappointed.
So question, Lauren. When you watched this movie as a kid, did you get the point that all that happened because of the spell she cast?
I guess not. I guess.
I love you. I'm sorry.
I guess it was like, okay, in my mind, like, you know, it's like, people are always like, oh, like Lauren, or not Lauren. People are like, oh, you know, like once you become truly happy, then that's when you know, the right one will just find you. Like the people talk about, like, oh, how'd you meet? It's like, oh, I was walking out of store and like he just stopped me and said hello. And it's like, that's how we fell in love. And so I think that was part, like, this, her storyline in the movie was also kind of added to that, that dream like situation. And then as an adult, you're just like, nothing happens that way. And if it does happen that way, that person's a psychopath, because you shouldn't be meeting that person and falling in love, you know?
No, you shouldn't. I mean, Lauren, I could just become a witch and just make these things happen for you.
I mean, like, I'm waiting.
Okay, wow. I just offered to do you a solid and you're very, like, aggressive. So I take it back. I'm not going to help you. Fuck you. I'm gonna become a witch. I'm going to make all those things happen for me. And you'll get to watch.
But speaking of someone becoming a witch and someone taking advantage of them, can we talk about Madame Serena?
Okay,
her greedy ass?
Madame Serena is wild, because like so in the movie she plays like the witch woman who like kind of ushers Louise into like being magic and being a teen witch. Mm-hmm. And there's a part, and it's very surprising, because I feel like typically in these movies, whenever, because it happens in The Craft too, there's a woman mm-hmm. in like the woman who runs like the magic store. She kind of is mm-hmm. that, but she's not like as kooky and fun. She just kind of was like weird and mm-hmm. just like, hey, girls, just so you know, whatever you put out into the universe comes back to you times three. So be careful with your magic.
Yeah.
And Madame Serena is the exact opposite, where she's like, go off, sis, what you want. Get yourself a man. Do this. Be rich. Be famous. I'm like, she's chaotic evil.
I loved how, like, one of the first scenes that she meets Madame Serena, Madame Serena's like, oh, like, you're going to have powers come to you. And then Louise is like, all right, crazy old lady, like, let me leave already. You don't have a phone. And then finally, like, Louise comes back after her 16th birthday, she gets her powers and she's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, people are turning into dogs. I don't know what to do. And so So she goes back to Madame Serena, and Madame Serena is like, oh, you can even make money. And I'm like, this, like, she is literally teaching her all the bad things of, like, you can find love through magic. You can make money out of magic.
You can,
like,
also cause inflation through magic, because you're just printing money. I'm like, have you learned nothing from Zimbabwe? Don't just print money. You're going to destroy the economy, girl. Like, stop. That's it. That's why I love
like, Madame Serena was so excited. She's like, ah, yes. Like, I'm finally going to get everything I wanted. I'm going to steal everything from this little teen witch. And I'm going to take advantage of everything.
Okay, what was also funny about her is that she encourages Louise to do the love spell, which, mm-hmm. again, from all the movies I've watched that have magic, usually the love spell thing is like a no-no. It's like, you don't want to, don't do that, because in The Craft, mm-hmm. fucking Sarah does that, and then it twists on her, because then, like, the guy gets obsessed with her and, like, it tries to assault her, basically, because it's like, you know, you can't, a love spell, love is supposed to be like this natural thing that happens, and when you try to make a love spell, it just corrupts it, so it's never like a good thing. It's always like, this person will be obsessed with you, and like, it's not fun. It starts off fun, and then it gets really scary.
Yeah.
And it was just so weird, because she was just like, he'll be your love slave, Louise. I get to her voice.
That was pretty good, though.
He's gonna love you, Louise. He'll go crazy. Like, what the fuck? And I'm like, Madame Serena, like, no, that's assault. Like, that's not okay. Like, that's basically, like, you're roofying him, essentially, but with magic. Like, no.
And Louise is like, okay. Uh-huh. Yes. So, yeah, okay. Let's talk about Brad, which I'm like, of course his name is Brad. It would have been Chad, Brad, or like, what's the other like frat boy name?
Jake, Ryan,
Jake, Kyle.
But they couldn't do it because Jake was already taken. So hence he is discount Jake Ryan in my book, because we never learned anything about him except that he's popular and plays football. He has no character.
Okay. This is something I thought through this movie, this is what our podcast does. Mm-hmm. We always relate something back to like why it's like, you know, has a feminine, a feminist like undertone.
Oh yeah.
And what I thought about this movie, and I think why I loved it so much, like, this movie was definitely part of my sexual awakening for sure.
Oh, same.
Like, and I remember like watching it today and yesterday, I was like, this is like the movie for women to like lust after men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to get what we want out of men, like, with, like, you know, like, Madame Serena and that frog, she turns into, like, this hot guy. And, you know, she, like, he's gonna be your love slave. And, you know, like, we literally, like, Brad is, like, because I think at one point, like, Louise is, like, creeping behind a corner while Brad is, like, working out and, like, taking off his shirt, sweating with his abs.
Mind you, he's alone in the middle of the football field. No shirt, just doing sit-ups, and it's, which looks hot when you, like, zoom in on him, and he's, like, all sweaty.
Right.
But if you're standing from Louise's point of view, it's just a man in the middle of a football field, half naked. Yes. It's kind of funny.
Like, it really hit me, like, this movie. I'm like, oh, like, there's very few movies out there that are, like, you know, where it's, like, the men are being objectified and, like, not really given, like, a backstory, or, like, mm-hmm. they're not really much else besides their looks.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, the women that are objecting by them and using them. I was like, okay. Like, I see.
You're right. Because if it was the opposite, we think about a lot of, like, the teen movies that come out in the same time. Yeah. Where the opposite is, like, nerdy guy falls in love with popular girl. She also doesn't have a character in the movie. She just mm-hmm. is pretty. That's yeah. it. Like, and for him, it's, like, I guess Jake is hot. Not Jake, sorry.
Oh, I got Jake Ryan.
I got Jake Ryan on the brain. But, like, Brad's good looking, I guess, but also, like, that's it. Like, we never learn anything about, like, his likes, dislikes. There's no depth. It's just he's pretty and popular.
He's pretty and popular. I loved at one point, like, I think, like, towards the end when Louise is finally like, oh my gosh, like, people are just loving me because I, you know, put a spell on them to, like, the most popular girl. And Jake is like, when they try to give him depth and they're both sitting in the car, and he was just like, Louise, like, you're different than the other girls. Like, you know, like, it's just natural that we should be together. Just, which, like, even him
the subtext is, I'm the popular guy and you're the popular girl. That's why it's natural. It's not like, I yeah. like you. It's like, no, you're hot right now. Everyone writes your name on signs and puts them all over the school.
Everywhere over the school.
And all it says is, like, Louise Miller is great. Is that even, like, for president? I thought she was running for president for a second. It's like, no, it's just her name.
Yeah. Be like, we love you, Louise.
Like, outside her house, like, mobbing her house.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. But that part of the movie when they're, like, really, like, obsessed with her mm-hmm. and, like, there's signs everywhere, everyone starts dressing like her, it reminds me so much of that montage of Mean Girls.
Yes.
When everyone starts dressing like Regina George mm-hmm. and then everyone gets really obsessed with Lindsay Lohan's character.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, blind following that they're like, oh, I don't want this. I just want to be popular.
One day I saw Regina George wearing army pants and flip-flops, so then I bought army pants and flip-flops.
Oh, my gosh. I need to watch that movie again. I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah. I'm always in the mood for that movie. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's so good. It's too bad it didn't happen in the 80s, because I'd be like, let's watch Mean Girls. But, like,
I know.
We can't, unfortunately. Alas, we cannot. Okay, this actually, I thought about this when you mentioned, like, objects, men as objects. Mm-hmm. The fucking teacher, can we talk about
my God, her Mr. teacher? Weaver.
Mr. Weaver, who is a sex pest?
Oh, I wrote down, he definitely got Me Too'd, like, oh, for sure.
when he fell those goddamn stairs, like, good. because our first, okay, when we first see Mr. Weaver, he's like, mm-hmm. he is this teacher, okay, you're a public school teacher. Cool your jets.
Oh.
You're not a fucking professor. You're not, you know, this, like, tenured scholar. Mm-hmm. You're a fucking public school teacher teaching us Hamlet. So tell us about Hamlet. Shut the fuck up. You have his bow tie. He has his patches on his jacket.
His tweed.
He has all these books in his classroom. I'm like, okay, like, good luck having to unpack your classroom at the end of the year, dumbass, and move you to another classroom. I hated him. When we first meet yes. him, he like just harasses Louise because she's held back. I mean, she was not held back. She skipped a grade. So she's younger than everyone in the class. And, you know, he's collecting the papers and stuff, and he reads out, I guess, her fan fiction.
Oh, that fan fiction was getting hot and heavy,
though. It was hot. And he reads it, and he's like, oh, Miss Miller, just throws it at her. I'm like, you fucking asshole. But what's
I think...
No, go ahead. No, you go.
Oh, no, I was like, that scene, like, the because that was the one of the opening scenes, and I was like, that, like, really set the scene of just, like, how low that Louise was feeling, because she's like, she literally got called out by Mr. Weaver of reading her diary entry about Brad, who was in the fucking class.
I know.
I would have died.
I would have ended my life at that point. Like, I can't.
Oh, for sure.
I can't. But like, the second time we see the teacher, though, it's before she decides to make a voodoo doll out of him, which is why I mentioned him being an object, because she literally makes a voodoo doll out of him, which I think was amazing. He like knocks over her purse. And then starts, like, telling everybody what's in it. First off, there was a blow dryer, and I was like, okay, interesting. And she has, like, birth control pills, and he, like, shows everybody his birth control pills. And he's like, oh, I guess you're hopeful or something like that. And I was like, oh, my God.
Like, the harassment that she endured in that class was crazy.
That's some shit that, like, he would get fired. He would be Me Too'd. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Just, like, utterly terrible. Yeah.
You know what's better than Me Too? Just making a voodoo doll out of shitty men and then making them strip in front of everybody and then throwing them downstairs and then making them walk through a car wash.
That was so good. Like, I absolutely loved that. Was there any other... there was that revenge that she did against Mr. Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
There was... She had the revenge against Rhonda. Yep. Or in Kiki, right?
Yeah, Rhonda and Kiki. She, like, turns them against each other. And, like, one of them gets thrown into a pool.
Yeah, I love that they're, like... Because it's, like, that kind of, like, you know, popular girl shtick of, like, oh, you know, like, they're friends, but they secretly hate each other. They just lie to each other all the time.
Yeah.
So she gave them a spell to, like, have to tell the truth to each other. They just went off and be like, actually, you sound horrible.
They dragged...
You should never sing again.
They dragged her, and they were talking about her roots.
Yes.
And she called her a skake and threw her in the pool. I just was like,
oh my gosh.
Truly delightful. I loved it. Also, okay, so she has a best friend in this show, in this movie.
Polly,
who, sweet, sweet thing. Okay, one thing I did not like about this movie is that, the whole Polly, I think they were, I go up for nerdy best friends in movies. I loved Booksmart for that reason. Like, I love, like, oh, they're just, like, cute.
Oh, Booksmart, so good.
I like to do cute little, like, besties, and, like, you know, they're just kind of comrades and being unpopular, but it works for them. Mm-hmm. So obviously when Louise gets popular, she forgets about Polly, and Polly confronts her when she's because Louise is suddenly a cheerleader. Polly confronts her, and she's like, yeah, like, you're basically being a shitty friend. Like, I haven't seen you in a long time. Do you realize that in the movie they never resolve it?
Nope.
And I was
looking for it, too.
Yeah, I was expecting at the dance that, like, okay, Louise is going to be like, oh, Polly, I'm so sorry. Like, because the whole point of the dance, when she shows up, she kind of is like, I'm going to be myself and forget my powers. Like, she takes the necklace off, and she's like, they're going to love me for me. But she never talks to Polly. And I'm like, guys, that has to happen. Like, she has to, like, are they friends again or not? And that's the one thing I was like, you know, maybe I was expecting too much out of Teen Witch, but come on, Teen Witch, do better.
Yeah, exactly. Do better. The only thing that happened with Polly is that she finally got her Beastie Boy hip hop boyfriend.
And they
started dancing, but that's it.
Yeah.
If anything, they just taught us that all you need to feel better about losing your best friend is to get a boyfriend.
Basically. Like, girl, get you a man, you'll be fine. That's it. And I'm like, no, she needs her friend.
Exactly.
So
that's sad. Polly, we hope you're doing okay, and that, you know, hopefully it's eventually got resolved. If not, then you're peaking later in life, and that's okay.
Oh, that's for sure. She's gonna be amazing.
I just wrote down some of my favorite scenes.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so the first one, which you already mentioned a little bit, was the sex education scene, which I definitely do not remember as much as what I saw, but nope. Dear God. So good.
Can you please give us a breakdown of what happened in that scene? Because it was amazing.
Okay, so for any of you guys that have never seen this movie, it's very... The way that they're kind of setting up was very relatable to the Mean Girls sex education speech, but obviously Teen Witch came first. So they're in the home ec class, and like the main teacher is just like, all right, so the school board's now requiring me to teach you about sex education. And so she like whips off the sheet off the blackboard, and there's like, she was like, Steve the sperm and Elsie the egg. And so basically to kind of, but again, everything is euphemized, and like, it's like they're not really using real words. Mm-hmm. And then finally, but everyone is dying in the class being like, this is hilarious, because she's talking to them like they're like 5 years old and don't know what sex is.
Yeah. There's no virgins in that class.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely
because
not.
That school is full of 40-year-olds. Like,
always. They're so freaking old.
I'm sorry to interject in that point, because we have like the Beastie Boys and he's in that class and he looks mm-hmm. so old. And earlier in the movie, he like calls out Louise to be like, oh, are you sure you go to high school? Because she like looks young. And I'm like, no, are yeah. you sure you go to high school? Because my dude, you're 44. And
he dresses like an old man too.
Yeah, he has like a 5 o'clock shadow. I'm like, you're so old.
That's what I love about, like, you know, when you're first watching these movies as a kid, you just think everyone in movies is older than you because they're like teenagers in high school. Like,
yeah, ooh. And teenagers seem so much older. Yeah.
And then once you get older, you're like, these people are like 30 years old in this movie. Why are they playing teenagers?
I know. I mean, that's why Degrassi was such like a big deal, because Degrassi was yeah. the only show I watched where the people on it were playing their age for the most part. I think some mm-hmm. actors were like a little bit older, but for the most part, it's like, but
they could, yeah, they could were, pass.
They looked like 15 and 16 year old like people in school versus shows that were out. I'm talking about Next Generation specifically.
Yeah.
But shows that were out at the same time, like a One Tree Hill or the OC, where they're like, no, these people are like in their late 20s.
Right.
There's no way that's a sophomore. Like, she's going through menopause right now. Like, how is she a sophomore?
She's going through her second divorce, drinking away her sorrows. Like, you can't pass her off as a sophomore in high school.
You got her sitting in algebra class. Come Did on. I look like an idiot to you?
And that's when those shows came out, we were already like in high school. We're like, yeah, you can't fool us anymore, because I'm looking around people I go to school with and they don't look like that.
Like, so. No one in this show has acne. How? Because everyone I go to school with has acne. Every single one of them has acne. Like,
oh, but the one person on Montreal did have acne. I do remember that. They did not cover that up well.
Wait, what'd you say?
One person on Winter Hill did have acne, but they never covered it up well with the makeup.
In which case, you should just let them have the acne. Because it's like, at least that's relatable. Like, yeah, most kids in high school have acne. It's okay. It's totally normal. A lot of adults still have acne. That's also okay.
I mean, you know that cystic acne that's under your skin that just mm-hmm. hurts?
Yeah.
I got one under my nose, and I'm like, I guess this is like my struggle for the next 5 days. Like,
yeah, just... I get clogged pores and I get like little like bumps. It's not like mm-hmm. pimples, but they're just kind of like little bumps. I have like a bunch on my forehead right now. I'm breaking out a little bit, and you know what, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Not gonna steal my sunshine. But sorry, I interrupted you were discussing the sex ed scene, but I just had to go on that tangent.
Listen, acne is always relevant, okay? Mm-hmm. It is. But yeah, so like, she at one point she like pulls out an umbrella, which, well, as she was pulling it out, I was like, wait, are they about to pull out a black dildo? Like, that was her first reaction. Because like, she's pulling it out of a bag and you see the handle first, and I was like, no, no, no. Then it was an umbrella, and I was like, oh, right, it's an umbrella.
So like, what I thought was going to happen though with the umbrella, and it doesn't, they make jokes about it being a penis, because then Beastie Boy number one starts like, does a little freestyle rap about all the names of dicks. And I was like, okay, good for yes. you. Yeah, I wish I'd written it down, but like, he does a little like, he spits a quick verse. Mm-hmm. But then I thought she was going to do the obvious thing, which is like, the umbrella is like the condom. And she does it.
A penis, yeah.
No, I don't mean like it's a penis. Like, oh, it's Because like an umbrella is almost like, or like a raincoat is like a euphemism for a condom. And I was like, oh, it's like and they never make the joke. And I'm like, guys, obvious joke. Come on.
That makes more sense. In my mind, I thought she was going to use the condom to put it on the umbrella to demonstrate how to put on a condom, which again, it happens all the time in sex ed and movies and TV shows. That never happened. That never happened in our sex ed.
Yeah. They never did the banana thing, which I think is always like the common thing in movies and TV.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of like just told us to use them.
I loved how, at the end of her speech, she like, she's like, because the teacher's getting very like flustered, like having to talk about this topic around teenagers, and the teenagers are like getting really riled up and laughing about it.
I know.
So she's getting really nervous, and I loved how she's like holding the umbrella and she accidentally like pops it open with the button and she like jumps. And I'm just like, oh girl, you need to get laid. You have not.
But also in that same scene, I understand why she's so terrified. She shows him a condom and they all start chanting condom.
Condom. Yeah, because she's like, follow me, condom. And they repeat her, condom.
Yeah, but then they keep going. After they say one, they're like, condom, 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 condom. And the scene ends. But look, was Louise in that class?
I don't think so.
That's why I was like, what? This scene is so fucking random because she's not even in it. I'm like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, they had a lot of like kind of like off scenes that didn't include her always. Oh my gosh. But that scene was so funny. And I remember watching it and I was like, yeah, they did not show this in the Disney Channel version for sure.
Oh no, they were sure to cut that scene out. They were not having it.
Okay, do you want to talk about the harvest dance?
Yes. With Randa's cousin.
David.
Okay. Low key, David was kind of cute.
Oh, he was a little cutie with those like little nerd glasses.
He was giving me kind of like a very new wave, like Elvis Costello, like kind of look, kind of like the lead singer from Weezer.
Buddy Holiday.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? He's cute. He's a sex pest and is annoying as fuck. But like at first glance, I'm like, you're kind of cute.
I know, right? But it's like, but that was like, and I had to think back. I'm like, oh, right. Like the 80s, like nerd look was not a cool look. Like you couldn't like the nerds. That wasn't a thing.
No, you could not. But they go to like so poor Louise, because Randa invites her to the prom, not the prom, to the Harvest Festival or whatever. And she's like, yeah, like my cousin's coming. Can you be his date? And listen, Louise is so excited. She's like, yes, I made it. And that boy comes to the door and she's like, I did not make it.
She was so let down. She was like, oh, like I'm gonna get a hot date. Like she was like, this is my chance to finally like have a boy notice me. She's like, this is not the boy I want to notice
which me. Is a fair assumption, because Randa's very pretty, so she's like, want to date my cousin. I'm like, okay, family resemblance, probably, maybe he's also like attractive.
But my favorite thing about this harvest dance was that Louise, she pulled a page out of Stephanie K's book.
Yes.
She brought her big ass bag and dumped it in the sink in the bathroom and gave herself a makeover, and she was feeling herself.
So her makeover. she was doing fine until she put that tutu on. Cause like, okay, like a little shirt, kinda cute. Little like little tight skirt. Okay, I like that. And then she threw on a tutu. And I was like, where are you going, girl?
The tutu and the sunglasses that she put on. And I was like, oh, girl.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can. She was so excited. But later on, we see her like idol, the singer girl, who also wears a tutu. So I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. Like, you're trying to do her look, but like, it's not working.
But it was such an accurate portrayal of like, you want to dress cooler, but you don't necessarily like, have the wardrobe to dress cooler yet. So you just have to work with what you have. And that was definitely me. Like, and I noticed, like, you know, when she's in the mirror, like, you know, fixing her hair and she's just like tossing her hair and she's like, yeah, she's like,
feel myself.
Yeah. And I know, like, whenever, like, I'm having, like, a good hair day, or, like, if I wear my hair down for the first time in a while, that's, like, exactly what I do. I'm like,
yeah.
And I, like, shake out my hair.
I mean, don't we all?
Oh, yes. Yes, we do.
She was feeling her fucking self. But when she goes out to her date, David laughs in her face, which is saying a lot. But also. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, yeah, even when you know when he's laughing at you that you've just like lost it.
You know you fucked up. But then like so when we first meet David, he's like, oh, he's just like a kind of a dweeb. Then he's like, you want some weed? Like, his character like did a 180 from just like, oh, he's a dork to like, hey, want some drugs? And she's like, no. And then he's like, they decide like, okay. Randa and Brad get in the car with Kiki and like, yeah, take Brad's car and you drive her.
Yeah.
And then he's like trying to get roadhead basically. And I was like, what the fuck?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if this, okay, if you are really playing true to a nerd character, you would not have these like expectations. You would not be like this over the top of, cause he, what did I write down? I wrote down David is the nerd misogynist who also got Me Too'd. Like,
oh yeah,
like it was so,
he's an incel,
so weird,
he's a full-on incel. It was really weird because in the beginning when we first meet him, he's like, he's nerdy, he sees her and he's like, wow's that, like looks her up and down, which I could I could see kind of like him being like the dork but like a weird horny dork, which I guess works. But then he just turns into like
a jerk and an asshole.
What, like it was like so like, it's played for laughs. I'm like, this isn't funny. Like, he's, like, driving and swerving around and, like, trying to make her, like, basically go down on him while he's driving. And she says, like, makes him disappear, essentially. I'm like, good. I like that.
Yeah. I loved it.
The best kind of self-defense is just use magic and make guys disappear.
Oh, my gosh. They shouldn't have killed us all off in Salem. Because we were fed up with everything.
That's how that's how you know there weren't actual witches in Salem, because had there been witches in Salem, they would have fucked them all up.
Also, there's this new show on a whatever Freeform, the new ABC Family, and it's like Salem Fort Salem, and it's basically about like, instead of killing off the witches in Salem, the like government was like, oh, okay, well you have to work for us now. And so it was, like, this treaty that was put in place. But then they still end up getting, like, used and abused by the government because they're women. And they're not in control of their own bodies. It's a very good show. I would recommend it to all you guys.
Ooh. This sounds like fun. Is it Freeform?
Yeah. Like, the new ABC Family.
Could I watch it on Hulu?
Yes. Mm. It is all on Hulu. It's called Fort Salem.
Love that. Gotta check it out. One of my favorite scenes in this movie, let me think. I had a wonderful time with the dog, the brother turning into a dog. I don't know why I love it so much. I think it's just because the brother was in the scene, honestly, because anything he does is just like iconic and I don't know. But like, it's so strange. So there are a lot of like moments in this movie that are just like really weird, random things that happen. So she gets home and that's when, you know, he's like, you're a dog, Louise, a dog. It's just wonderful. And I guess she kind of just she's emotional and upset. She kind of just turns into a dog without meaning to. And he becomes a dog and he's freaking out. And he's a very cute dog, by the way.
I know. Yeah.
And I just thought it was incredibly funny how she takes him and she's like, I'm going to give him a bath. I don't know why. But she goes into the bathroom and there's already a full bathtub of bubbles.
Yeah, the continuity was not so great.
No, it was not. And there's a few moments, and that's, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to just like poke some holes in your fave. There are a few moments where it's like there's a lot of holes. So like one, we mentioned, of course, them not resolving the conflict between Louise and Polly, which Polly deserves better. Mm-hmm. Hashtag justice for Polly. There's also the part back at the Harvest Festival. Brad asks, can I come over to your place tomorrow to study?
Right.
We don't see him again. That days pass before he shows up to her house.
Yeah.
And it was just like a moment of like, I feel like they meant to edit that out or like to edit that differently where it's like he wants to come over to help, you know, get like study advice or whatever. And he just time passes that's not a day.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. But eventually he gets to the part – to the, her house. And that's my second favorite scene is her whole, like, the entire bit where she's hid – she hid all the chairs in her room so that he has to sit on the bed so she can do the spell. Mm-hmm. And her various members of her family showing up and being like, where are the chairs?
Yeah, the constant, like, the classic movie trope of, like, you know, they're trying to, like, get to, like, a very serious moment, but they keep on getting interrupted by uh-huh. people knocking on the door, and they go back to, like, on the bed, and someone else knocks on the door, she has to get back up, and yeah, but it's, like, everyone keeps on asking, like, where are the chairs? Where are the chairs?
And it's a really good use of, like, the rule of three, like, kind of thing mm-hmm. in, like, comedies. Like, Brad says it first, and she's like, it's getting upholstered. Then I think her dad shows up next.
Yeah.
And then he, like,
either her dad, yeah.
He comes up, and he's like, where are the chairs? And she's like, oh, I was exercising. And he leaves the door open. He goes to close it at first, and then he, like, leaves it open. And then he leaves. And the brother just, like, bursts in when she shuts the door again and asks about the chairs again. And I don't know. I thought it was really I thought it was very funny.
I thought so, too.
It was very good comedy. The timing
of it was very good.
Yeah. And she gives in and just opens the fucking closet, and there's chairs in there. Very she's funny.
She's like, don't ask. I just loved how, like, then she, like, does the spell, and then he's like, what are you doing? Like, if I heard someone, like, trying to do some incantation in different languages, I'd be like, girl, like, I'm leaving, bye.
Yeah, because she's, like, straight up just doing, like, I don't know, like, she's, like, spitting some shit in Latin or whatever very loudly next to him, and I'm like, he can hear you, and you say his name in it, so it's mm-hmm. like, Brad, come on, you need to leave. She's a witch, obviously.
But I think... Yeah, Brad's just a dumb hunk that, you know, is unaware of anything that's going on around him, apparently. Yeah.
Yes. But my third favorite scene, which includes Brad, is when he takes her to that abandoned house.
Bitch, when I fucking tell you that this, I'm, like, watching it today, I'm like, yo, to my 11-year-old brain, this was porn. Like, this was straight up porn.
Like, I mean, it was kind of, it got kind of like, I thought they were going to have sex. They didn't, but like.
It was kind of implied that they had sex, though. I think they had sex. They just didn't show it.
But she says, when she sees Madame Serena, she's like, and then he kissed you. And she's like, yeah.
But they did more than kiss. Like, he was feeling her up. They got through some bases.
Okay. Like, maybe like second and a, 2.5 bases.
Yeah.
But the scene is so funny to me because for one, he takes her to an abandoned house, and she's like, wow, it's so cool. And I'm like, it's an abandoned house. Like, Louise, do better. Like you deserve better than this. It's an abandoned house, and you're going to get murdered in it. It's a murder house. But he takes her there, and then, like, he does this weird thing where he's, like, running around the house, like.
Yeah, he, like, because this thing, it's, like, where the roles are reversed, because usually it's, like, it's like, you know, a man comes home and then, you know, the woman's trying to seduce him and, like, she leaves little clothes around the house for him to find and, you know, yeah. to come find her naked. But he's doing it. And it's like, I remember for some reason she doesn't keep her shoes on in this dusty old house, which doesn't make any sense to me.
And her feet were so dirty. I could see right? her feet like, ew, put your shoes on.
And I remember thinking as a kid, I was like, ooh, she's barefoot. That must mean, like, it's, like, sensual, like, in my mind because they didn't have any shoes on. It was sensual. But I remember, like, as I was watching it yesterday, okay, so have you ever seen those YouTube videos where they, like, dub over movie trailers with thriller horror music?
Uh-huh.
And it's like if Mrs. Doubtfire were a horror movie, yeah. and then with the change of music, it's very terrifying. This scene is that scene where, like, because as they're, like, driving up, like, he, like, leaves her in, like, a sunflower field of flowers.
Uh-huh.
And, like, makes her follow her to an abandoned house. Like, that's scary. And, wait, like, they...
there actually is, like, a very iconic scene from, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre where they first find the house where, like, Leatherface lives. And it's also, yeah. like, in the middle of a field and there's, like, flowers and stuff. And, like, there's, like, a tracking shot goes into the house, and it felt very much like a slasher movie. Like, someone's gonna get murdered. So when she finds all the clothes, it's like Brad's been stripped and murdered. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Okay, that's what I'm gonna do. If a listener wants to do it, I'll probably do it as well. I want to dub over some music of that scene,
like, yes,
and then post it as a horror movie. And you guys will have to tell us what you guys think.
Well, it's also fucking weird about it is that she gets into the house, and he's like. I think he's like playing coy. He's like, you gotta catch me. He's like running around. She like at one point she's like takes her shoes off, right? And she like leaves her shoes and she like walks up the stairs and she finds his shirt and she looks up the top of the stairs and he's like posed and she sees him and he like
runs away.
Scurries away.
It's like, that's the thing, it's like, it's so weird of like, the man shouldn't be doing it this way. It's very like, it's a very bizarre thing. And it's like, if you're like, it's just so weird because it's like, he's like, ew, like, come and catch me. Like, that's how I envision him saying it.
But like, very childlike, kind of like, you're like running away. And it's like,
but you can't, come you can't catch me. It's like, Brad. Oh dear God.
Yeah, that scene is so funny. And then they just like dry hump after.
Yeah. And I was like, Louise, like you're like, listen, Louise was like that okay, because I know both of us listened to the Mortified podcast. Are we know Mortified, right?
Yes.
And I always love those, my favorite Mortifieds. Mortified readings are the ones where like a girl is like not the most popular girl in school, but she's like horny as hell and like wants to have sex, but like no one will have sex with her.
Yes.
And I feel like that was Louise, because like we see Louise like at the beginning of the movie, like you know, envisioning this like super sexy romantic music video with her and Brad.
Yeah.
But it's not actually happening in reality.
Yes.
And then like, because she like talked to Brad like twice before then, and all of a sudden she's like, oh yeah, this is happening, like we're gonna dry hump in this dirty ass house, like Louise was hot and ready for it, like she was not coy at all. I loved
no that whatever that little cat and mouse game he was playing, fucking it worked mm-hmm. It's just, again, this movie is so strange, Lauren, and I'm so glad you chose it, but it was so funny.
It was so strange being like, so what? Like, it's so confusing. So I was just looking up some trivia for the show, and it said that the actor that played Brad and the actor that played Randa were actually married in 1990, so I guess they met on the movie. Aww. And like got married in real life. And said are still together as of 2018, which is like crazy.
Wow. That's actually like really impressive.
Wow. So what I'm assuming is that I just need to, you know, be in the 80s style teen movie to find my true love.
That is a conclusion. I wouldn't say it's the conclusion, but it is a conclusion.
I'll accept that. I'll accept that.
It's kind of like a choose your own adventure, in which case, yeah, that's an option.
Oh my gosh. Oh, love that. Okay, so after the dry humping at the abandoned house, what were some, did you have any other favorite scenes? All right, I guess there weren't really any major scenes maybe after that. I'm trying to think.
No, I think after that scene, I think at some point she starts to realize, like, no, like, Brad, like, I want him to like me for me and not because I'm a witch. And as when Madame Serena is going off because she's like, I have everything I want now. You can't do this to me. Like, which is confusing because, like, wait, so the Madame Serena, does she – I don't understand how this magic works. Because – so Louise obviously turns into a witch when she's 16 years old. She has powers. Meets Madame Serena. She helps her out. Madame Serena, like, when she makes the love potion for Louise. Or no, the popularity potion. That's what happens. She makes a little potion. Yeah. She has to use it. Madame Serena says, this is the last of my powers. And I was like, wait, so are her powers finite and are they kept in a black bag? And you used all of it on this girl?
I have no idea. I think... I after watching this, I don't really trust Madame Serena with my life anymore. So I'm going to say, okay, so my theory is that Madame Serena, possibly it was the last of her powers, possibly not. It could have just been like some powder she needed to add, but it was just it was like this like vial of blue liquid, and then she added the powers, and I was like, that's just baking soda and vinegar. Like, stop trying to play me.
They just put some like food coloring in that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that Madame Serena was just like making up the story so that because she couldn't do the spell on her own. I think Louise probably could have done the spell on her own for her own life. But I think when they joined hands, then Madame Serena actually did a spell to make them both popular or like get whatever they want.
Okay.
So I think that's what happened.
That makes sense. Because then when she comes back to Madame Serena's later, it's like completely changed. It's like a really nice like house and stuff. And hence she's freaking out because she's like, if you stop if you fucking take these powers from me, are you kidding? Like Madame Serena got scary for a second. I was like, okay.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, oh, this is, she's kind of sketchy. Like what are her motives here?
Right. Like what are her motives? I am worried for Louise.
Yeah. And I love, like, cause I remember watching it when I was younger and I was like, oh, like they have this cute little, like, you know, daughter, you know, old auntie like type relationship. But now I'm like, she was just grooming her to get what she wanted.
Like, yeah. Yes. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Because even the scene when she gets the, turns the frog into the dude, she like thanks Louise for it. Louise just kind of showed up and then left. She didn't really do anything. But I think, I don't know if maybe just like proximity to Louise's power gives her powers. Oh my God. It's like really dark. She's like leeching off of Louise's powers.
I know. I need a sequel to this movie to know like, because I feel like, because Madame Serena was given the necklace and now it's just like, now she has all the power and now I feel like she just like takes over the town and like is an evil witch to everyone.
Would it have been funny if like, so I feel like the message they have at the end is basically like, you know, the power was inside Louise all along. She didn't need the magic. Like people still liked her. Whatever. It's because she's hot. She's hot in that moment. Exactly. She looked good. Everyone wanted to dance with her. But would it have been funny if like when she took the talisman off, everyone just ignored her for the rest of the movie and it ended like so. Instead of like everyone like, who's that girl, and like dancing around her and like Brad showing up, she like walks in and they just like see her and they're just like, ew, just like, keep dancing. The magic wand. She like goes up to Brad and she wants like, oh, like let's do this choreographed dance, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I'm with Randa, you bitch. And it's like, and I'm going to Stanford apparently.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I need that spinoff. I need that mini series.
Well, because it reminds me of a book that I read. I cannot remember it. I might have to actually give me a second, Lauren, if you don't mind, like letting me search the name of it, because it's a book I really liked when I was a kid, and it has a similar premise actually.
Ooh.
Oh. Okay. So I read this book when I was in like elementary school maybe, and it's called The Wish. I don't know, do you remember that book?
Ooh.
The Wish. No. If I show you the cover of it, it might ring a bell.
Oh yeah, I know it too. I know exactly that book.
Yeah,
I
but never like, read it though. But like the premise of it is about this girl, and she her name's Wilma, and she's unpopular at her school, and she meets this woman who allows her to grant her a wish. So she says, she's like in the eighth grade, and she's like, oh, I wish to be the I want to be the most popular girl at Claverford Academy, the school she goes to. And it works, and everyone starts like liking her. The problem is that the caveat is that she said, I want to be popular at Claverford. So she's popular at school, but then like when other people meet her, they're like so at one point I think she becomes best friends with like the most popular girl, or the girl who was the most popular girl, and introduces her to another girl who doesn't go to the school. And the girl does not like her. And it's like, it's very clear that like, no, the spelling works with the kids who go to your school, because to anybody else, they're like, why is she so popular? They're like, why is Wilma so popular? She's just like very regular and everyone's obsessed with her. And it's like, she's not nothing special. But it ends really sadly because towards the end of the book, she realizes that she's going to graduate from eighth grade, which means that when everyone graduates, they're not going to like her anymore because the spell wears off because they don't go to the school anymore. And it's like really sad because at the end, it's like literally she like leaves school and then she just kind of goes back to her regular life. She's popular for a few months at her school and that's it. But that's, this movie made me think about that, of basically Louise just everyone's dumping her at the end of the movie.
Be like, this bitch. How dare she come in here with her navy blue glittered out dress and shoulder pads? Get out of here, Louise. No one wants you here.
You're a dog, Louise. A dog.
Oh, my God. Like, that's what everyone starts chanting.
Mm-hmm. But I think something we should definitely talk about, the fashion.
Oh,
what were your favorite looks in this movie?
Oh, one of my favorite looks, I love a good jean jacket. And so when whatever the singer's name, the Paula Abdul singer of the movie, when they go to her concert and she gives her her jacket. And like, I love that jacket because it was bedazzled, but it could still like go with anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was so sad that she never wore it again. But I loved that.
We never see the jacket again.
I know. But I loved all of Louise's fashion, like when she was the most popular girl.
Mm-hmm. During the montage.
Yes. Every outfit. She had so many, like so much acid wash, jean.
Yes.
Denim skirt, acid wash. Ruffles, shoulder pads.
There's one part, I think it's the scene when she goes to sit down with Polly and they all push her off the bench at lunch. She's wearing this red bolero. No, it was a black bolero jacket with like a red shirt and like a little ruffle skirt. Ugh. Yep. I wanted that outfit so bad. I loved it.
And I think that's what they did such a good job of it. Cause if we talk about the bottom of the barrel fashion that Louise was wearing at the beginning of this movie, I mean, I have seen like it was terrible. She like dressed horribly, was wearing the worst colors and just like the bulkiest of sweaters and layers of skirts. And
it's
hair was a hot mess.
It's the wardrobe of someone who, like, so her parents, her mom buys her clothes. And I feel like it's almost like a subliminal, like her mom wants her to never date. Cause like there's no way you think your daughter looks cute. Like she looks horrible.
Oh my gosh. It's like, she looks so bad. But I think then when they finally, like, you know, she like became the most popular girl, like she, cause I think obviously, you know, when we see like the kind of fashion in Degrassi, a lot of it is just like the fashion that the kids had, like there wasn't like this massive like movie budget, but I loved about Teen Witch is that like it was like very much like the kind of 80s like magazine fashion that like no kids can actually afford except for the popular girls.
Yes.
And so like every look was just like perfect, and I'm like, oh wow.
Favorite ones is actually one of the more low-key ones. It's the scene when Brad takes her on a random like canoe trip.
Oh, her jacket?
The acid wash jacket with like the matching jeans, and it has like a print on the jacket. And I was like, I want that. I literally was like, with the boots, I was like, I need that outfit. I would wear the shit out of that outfit.
Yes.
Could you see me in that? I already have a jean. Oh my God, I have a jean jacket. I'm just going to get myself a pair of jeans that match. I'm going full Canadian tuxedo. I don't care.
Girl, craft that shit up.
I'm doing it.
Oh my gosh, I'm here for it. You'll have to post a picture, whatever you do.
Oh, of course. I'll wear my hair in a side ponytail like it is right now. Oh, but also back to the Beastie Boys, too. Aside from them just, like, rapping randomly at the school, they also do weird, like, dances, too. So, like, when she leaves, they get, like, a formation. They all kind of, like, do this weird, like, pose thing after she walks away. Or even at the dance, he's like, okay, there's so many hot chicks. Let's get them. And they do, like, a weird, like, little jump. And they, like, split up. And it's like, what?
It was like it reminded me a lot of like a West Side Story of like they're like
they're basically like they're the formations. Jets. Yeah.
Yes. They're like the 80s version of Jets that are also nerds that can rap. And if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Oh yeah. No, I see it. Oh my God. I see it.
But yeah, they're just like but I love to like everything that they were doing is so exaggerated. Like, this is hip hop. Like, it was so much like Caitlyn when she did that "Stop the Stink" hip hop. It's like, this is rap. I'm cool. It's
like, hey, these everybody, three white have kids. You heard about?
And that's but they like for some reason if Caitlyn and these guys had a battle, I honestly don't know if Caitlyn would lose. I don't know.
She I want to see a mashup between listener. I need you to take the footage of the top that scene or any moment where the guys are in the Beastie Boys are rapping in this movie, and if you could just like smash cut that with Caitlin Ryan rapping, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And no, we'll have to definitely. I will not pay you for that work. Just do it.
No, we'll pay you with another episode that will come out eventually.
I know. Aren't we friends, listener? Aren't we friends? You don't ask your friends for money. You just do things for them when they tell you to do it.
Exactly. But oh man,
Teen Witch,
but
man.
I loved the last scene. I mean, I just love this movie so much. But I loved the dance scene, except for that they left Polly behind. But when the ending song. This is gonna be my finest hour.
Yes.
And it's like,
okay.
And
then you okay, notes. She found that note, let me tell you.
The song starts, so they're all at the dance, and also the dance moves in these dances I thought were so, like, when I think of 80s dance, like, everyone was dancing as if they were in the 80s, you know?
Yes. It's like they're all aware, like, we're in the 80s. Like, it is the 80s, but they're like, we're in the 80s in the way that people 20 years later think of the 80s. Like, this is the 80s.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I loved how, so they're all dancing, and then, you know, you see, Louise walk in, and she's wearing, you know, her navy blue sparkled out dress, and she, you know, of course, like, she walks in and everyone sees her, and then the music changes to, like, This Is My Finest Hour, and then you, like, hear the woman singing, and it's like kind of like the, it's a very, like, kind of slow, kind of steady 80s pop song. And then I loved at one point, so finally Brad, like, sees her from across the room,
of course,
and he stops dancing with Rhonda.
Very, very pretty in pink, very pretty in pink moment.
Yes, that's the thing, is like the kind of, there's so many classic tropes in this that it's just like reminding me of so many other movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Brad, like, sees her across the room, and he's like, at some point he took off his jacket and, like, was standing on, like, well, like, kind of
Lauren, shyly against Lauren, the stage. You know that Brad loves to take off articles of clothes and then, like, have you catch him. So he just, like, he took his jacket off. He's like, he did.
That's his niche. Like, that's what he does. Yeah. Like, that's his thing. But I loved how, like, so, like, you see Louise coming, and then it pans over to Brad, and then you hear the change to the song. You realize it's a duet, and then the man starts singing as Brad starts walking towards her, and then as they come together, the two people start singing at the song, and the, like, it just gave me a lot of, like, like, there's many moments in this movie that gave me, like, Dirty Dancing vibes. Like,
oh, yeah.
When they're in the abandoned house, like this moment at the end where they're dancing. And I was just like, damn, if only this had been me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lauren.
I could have had my Brad, okay.
But when you think about it, and that, I think that's a great point you mentioned, like, the Dirty Dancing. It's very clear, because this movie came out in 89, they low-key stole a lot of scenes from other popular 80s movies, where it's like, you have the Discount Jake Ryan. Like, he looks like – he's, like, the dark-haired, like, white guy. It's clearly Jake Ryan.
With the nice car.
Yeah, the nice car. The blonde girlfriend who's, like – it's clearly the girl. It's very much like a – they kind of stole a bunch of, like
– Yeah.
That's, like, tropes, but, like, definitely. Actual, like, moments from those movies. And, like, the band – that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Like, the abandoned house scene, which is literally the Dirty Dancing scene. They sing to Love Is Strange or whatever, and they're, like, crawling on the floor. It's like, that's literally the scene.
Oh, my God, yes. It really was. Yeah. But I think, honestly, I probably saw, because this was on Disney Channel a lot, I probably saw Teen Witch first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, like, saw all the other movies later. But, yeah, man, Teen Witch... Are we plagiarizing here?
There's plagiarism, maybe. But, like, I'm okay with it, because it is, like...
Maybe that's where, like...
It is fun, and they're doing their own thing, so...
Yeah, and then they're like, okay, we just gotta throw in a couple of music numbers, and we could throw people off and think that it's possibly a musical, so it can't be anything.
Throw them off our scent, just like...
But I also was reading on some trivia that, that there was, like, a... Because, you know, like, there's, like, some, like, comedy shows that they do now, like that Golden Girls one. No, that wasn't a musical, but, like, well, people will remake a popular thing and then make it funny, like, for a stage production.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a comedy like stage thing. Mm-hmm. And so someone had wrote in the trivia in IMDb that, let me see it. Teen Witch Live, a comedy musical based on the film, is currently at LA's famous Groundlings Theater. Oh, I hope it's still there.
At the Groundling, that's cool.
That would be hilarious.
That's dope. That's like a really famous like comedy theater. Like a lot of like really big comedy people have come out of the Groundlings in LA. I want to see that. Should we go to LA?
Let's go to LA. Fuck the virus.
I'm sure they're still performing it right now.
Oh yeah. Oh, there. I see some promos and some things online. So I'll have to look at those later. Oh my gosh. That's exciting, though. We should definitely go. If they're still playing it, whenever we can go back to traveling again, we should definitely go to LA.
Oh, I'd absolutely do it. But yeah, Teen Witch. I mean, I loved it. I'm not gonna lie. It had problems, but in the best way. In like kind of a good bad, a good bad movie. Like this movie is very corny, but I had fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it is. It's like one of those movies. It's one of those, because I remember like it would always. It's like the one of those chick flick type feel good movies. Like you know where the plot is going, you know how it's gonna end.
Yeah,
and the way that's very comforting, and mm-hmm. there's a bit of escapism to it because there's she's able to escape her normal teenage life and find her confidence because she became different from everyone else, and then she's able to love herself because she was different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cute. It's a cute movie, and I did have like a feeling of nostalgia because I remember watching it as a kid too, and like I remember so much from this movie and just hadn't seen it, but I did enjoy it, and I think I'm very happy that it was a good follow-up to True Beverly Hills in terms of just culty 80s like comedy type deal.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I'm just so glad that you, like, didn't hate it. In my mind, I was like, I love this movie too much, and I know that it's ridiculous. I was like, oh my gosh, if Sonique doesn't like it,
No, that's, like, my favorite type of thing. Like, I love – so I love a good, like, good movie, but I also love a good bad movie. I see them on the same – like, if anything, I get more excited about a good bad movie than even just, like, an okay movie because they're forgettable. Right. A good bad movie is, like – I'm going to remember that shit. Like, that's forever, you know? So, like, no, this is great. But
– oh, so good.
Yes, we're going to continue on with our bitchin' bonuses moving forward. I guess it's my turn to choose. I haven't decided what I want yet.
I know.
But I'll think about it and I'll let you know. But listeners, again, continue to interact with us. Let us know what you'd like to hear because we want to hear your feedback. And, you know, if you're liking this format or – you know, if you have any suggestions, let us know.
Yeah, let us know what your some of your favorite 80s movies, especially like, because I know like a lot of, like most of our listeners, like they were like, you know, young people. They weren't like, they were old, you know, old adults like in the 80s watching, you know, teen films. So yeah, what were some of your really like, you know, generational movies, like movies that spoke to you, like when you were growing up in the 80s, or if you're like us and you came a little bit later, like what were some of your greats that you watched to be like, I felt it, you know?
Yes. So let us know. But as always, thank you so much for listening, Broomheads, and we'll catch you later.
Bye. And as we always say,
that.